I was created since I was a little, since, the Lord planned on me being with children. And is there anybody here that likes boot camp? Well, my life, in order to be in the ministry of anything, you have to go through boot camp with your life. And so my life was all boot camp. And that means you learn to understand children. And I learned to understand them because I really wasn't a happy child. I was an intelligent child, very intelligent, and yet, and I wasn't happy because I knew too much, and didn't know what to do with it, that type of thing. But I was shy and felt alone all the time, didn't know how to express myself, and totally got to feel how children feel, so I could understand them. And when I turned 5 years old, I was afraid of death. And when I was 5 years old, I thought, gee, I have a long life to live. But when I was 13, I said, this is far enough. I don't want to get any older because 5 more years, I'll be 18. And I think you have to leave the house when you're 18. And I got to know what I'm doing, and I just don't want to be grown up, so that's just not where I want to go. So I've been avoiding birthdays since I was 13. I saw where it was taking me. Anyway, but as a child, because I was shy, I didn't want to ask questions because the teachers would know I wasn't too smart, But I usually wasn't listening to their instructions because I was too busy daydreaming. And that's what I loved doing, was daydream. That was my favorite pastime. And so I learned that if you be quiet, they let you do it. So they let me daydream, and they even let me sit in the back, and I could look out the windows, and nobody cared whether, what I was doing. It's amazing that I can talk, right? It's amazing that I can read, and I can do math and stuff. It's really amazing because I put no time and effort into that whatsoever, and it's amazing that I got any education at all. So what I did though is I learned imagination. I learned to be imaginative. I learned to live in my imagination. So God had a preparation for me, right? So this is what he called me to. It didn't look real good when I was getting my grades and didn't look real good when, and I, you couldn't take any pride in the school because I had none when it came to school. And of course I got the ungodly beliefs believing I was stupid. Well, of course. And I didn't realize all you have to do is work at it and and put your time into it. And so I was a really good daydreamer. I could imagine things all the time, always making up imaginations. But I had this love for children. And of course, you're not going to fit your peer group because you're boring. When you don't have anything to talk about and you don't have anything to say and you really, but the little children loved me and I loved them. So my father would see his teenage daughter with kids at the door. Can Sharon play? And of course I was the neighborhood babysitter, loving to give them rides and all this stuff. But I got to learn about children and how they feel because I was kind of like, I didn't have friends, and except for little children, and I heard God call me when I was like I would have to be under 11, from 6 to 11, one of those ages. I was in the car in the garage, and my dad was working, and I heard Sharon, and I said, "What, Dad?" Just like Samuel, he says, "I didn't say anything," and there was nobody else. And I heard it real loud, but I don't know what that means. But I just know that God did have a calling on my life like he does every one of you. because we're none of us accidents. And but I can understand how children feel about God. And I remember when I was in a church, my parents would sleep late. They take me to church and sleep late. My dad didn't believe that you can know you're saved. And so I would get picked up, like I'd be standing outside for an hour when my mother came to get me. But I wanted to be at church. I wanted to be with God. I wanted to be there. I wanted to be with the kids there, the little ones. And I remember the pastor's wife saying, "You must be born again. You must be born again." And I go, "Wow." But I didn't know how to get born again. And they didn't lead us to being born again, you know. But all these things, the first thing I did when she said born again, I said, "What about my friend Danny? She's Jewish." And so I started praying for my friend Danny. And that doesn't go over big when you tell somebody that they need to be born again. Anyway, so I kind of lost my friend Danny. But anyway, but I cared about the Jewish people. And because I knew that they didn't know Jesus, and you have to be born again. So God does this stuff. He plants things in children's hearts. And, you know, children are real. They are so honest, and they have integrity. And they have all the things that get worn away as you get older, you know? And they have the faith. And so I love children. So then when... I wanted God more than anything. I didn't have friends in high school except a couple of friends. And I just, it was miserable being a kid. Miserable for me because I knew I was supposed to have friends and I just wasn't into it. And so when I became I went to a year of college, I liked it better. You know, I went to junior college. I liked it better because kids were fresh. They didn't have all the groups yet, you know, so then I was more accepted and I had friends somewhat. But a year of college and my girlfriend said, "Come on, you've got to go." She graduated a year after me. She says, "We've got to go to Bible school. You've got to go to 2 years at Bible school." So we went off to Lutheran Bible school and down in South Burlington and near Catherine Kuhlman's church, Angela's Temple. I really had an interesting life, in the spirit realm. It's like, that's kind of like Pastor Steve said, that's where the Holy Spirit was poured out at the school, right? And it was poured out because the Azusa Street Revival down there, that's where the Holy Spirit, on South Burlington. So, but the school was having a horrible time because all the kids were getting baptized in the Holy Spirit from Angela's Temple. And they were these kids from South Dakota and North Dakota, and they were all these Lutherans. And so he was having a fit. And I was only Lutheran by choice because my uncle was Lutheran, and I thought that was cool. And I went to a Lutheran private school for about 4 years. But it was really exciting being down there, and we would go in the summertime. I would hang out with the kids at the Angelus Temple, and we'd go witnessing at the park to all the teenagers at Alvarado Park and Huntington Beach and those places, and learn the four spiritual laws. And so we used them, and it was amazing going down on Skid Row and talking to the drunks, you know. And they didn't want any money. They wanted not food, but they wanted money. Until you witnessed to them and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and then they were willing to go eat with you. And then I gave my Bible to one, and I would give anything. You know, I just thought this is the most exciting way to spend my weekends. But anyway, I had a heart for God, but I wasn't perfect, and I really had some problems. And because of ungodly beliefs. So I went to my Lutheran pastor who loved the Lord, and Dennis Bennett and Harold Bredesen were at that church. They went to that church. They were getting all the churches that weren't charismatic churches. They were getting them spirit-filled, the pastors. So it was a really neat time. And so anyway, So I went to my pastor. I says, I don't like my personality. I don't like where I'm going. I'm going nowhere. I can't get a job I want because I didn't get an education very well. I just graduated from high school and go to a year of college. And I says, I don't like the way I am. And so he says, go to this hotel and have Pastor Mirud, a Lutheran pastor who was an attorney, pray over you and say, you want baptism by fire. And I go, oh my gosh, what's going to happen to me? So I went there and it happened and I got filled with the Spirit and I learned how, and the tongues kind of, you know, the way the tongues came to me was I was trying to remember the three words that I got and they were always different. And I go, oh my goodness, I lost it. Anyway, but the thing is, I learned from all this because I'm teaching children now. And so then a week later, I told my good friend who had, you know, was my spiritual friend, you know, she was really close to the Lord and we kind of hung out together from the time we were 14. And so she came over to my house in my bedroom and I was trying to tell her about this and I was showing her what, you know, about asking the Holy Spirit to come in and all this. So all of a sudden I'm speaking in tongues and she's doing it too. And it's just rolling out and rolling out and it just comes out. And it was just amazing. And I'm telling you, these were lessons. And so then I got into a marriage with a man that was so badly hurt in Japan and he was abused and I felt so bad for him, but I couldn't help him, and I became a victim, you know, because he treated me the way he'd been treated as a kid and stuff, and so that's got me into seeking God more, because that's your boot camp, right? So I had to seek God more. I mean, I was raised with the family that loved me, parents, you know, the Cleavers, you know, and my dad had a gentle spirit. I was the favorite because I was the only girl. I felt like the favorite. My dad loved me, and I couldn't communicate with them, you know, but I knew I was loved. But anyway, so here I was in a marriage that was a nightmare, and I had to learn who God was. I had to seek him. I had to learn. So all that I was learning, I teach the kids. And so this one woman was telling me, you'll never be able to leave this marriage because once you're married, you have to stay married. And if you do leave, you can never marry again. You know, this is how it was in those days. And I mean, you know, this is how people felt, very legalistic. And so I stayed in the marriage, but I was praying. And she says, now just keep praising him. So all I knew how to do was say, thank you, God, praise you, God, love you, God, and over and over and over and over and over. But then that turned into praise and then using tongues. And so anyway, so to fast up, and I got into teaching children. I was teaching children as a teenager and also, you know, at the Presbyterian Church. And I went to Women's Aglow for the Spirit-Filled Fellowship. That's what we used to do in those days because the Women's Aglow had that. And so I was real, real into that. And so then we had Billy Brim and all these really neat speakers. Oh, Kenneth Copeland, he was brand new. And it was amazing. And I just loved it. And so then somebody got me into Kenneth Copeland and into the Word and learning the Word and all this stuff and how to use the Word, which I'd never done before. And then it came to the time when God said, you know, he really was trying to, it got worse, escalated, worse and worse and worse in the marriage situation. And so I needed help because I was living in this fear. And so the phone rang when my worst time, and they said, would you come and teach? And I was going to a Word Faith Church then in Agoura. And they said, would you like to come and teach this children? Would you like to take it over? And I go, take it over? I said, this is the worst time for me to say yes, but I'm going to say it because I'm really concerned about my kids. And I want the Lord to take care of them, so I'm going to go take care of, you know, of God, your kids, Lord. So I said yes, and had a lot of trouble doing this, but it was amazing. It was amazing. It was like Bible school. So the curriculum was the same kind of curriculum that they used at Kenneth Copeland Convention. All the word, it was just so amazing. And so I would do, because my mind was so messed up because of the abuse and everything, I was losing my purse constantly. And constantly finding it in the most unbelievable places, like, and I'd go to church, and I didn't, you know, I took my husband to the airport, and he was just in a, you know, nightmare, and so then he'd tell me to mail a letter, and I mailed it, and my purse fell out in the street, down in L.A., and I lived in Northridge, in Porter Ranch. And so anyway, I didn't know it was there, but I was going to church and I realized I didn't have my purse. So I went to church anyway, and I went in and I told everybody, I lost my purse, I don't know where it is, but I know when I get out of church today, I'm gonna get a phone call and I'm gonna have that purse. Because this is the type of stuff you use, right? So I went and took it to the kids in the class. Okay, kids, I lost my purse, don't know where it is, so we got to believe that when I get home, there's going to be a phone call. And sure enough, anytime kids pray, you got it. You got it, especially when you're teaching them faith, you know. And so I got home, and the phone rings, and they found the purse in the field, and all my change was gone. But the checks, $2,000 check, sure was there. And the stuff that really had value was there, but they only wanted change. And it was found in a field. I mean, you know, who does that? And so, I mean, but God listened, and he does that. He's a God of impossibility. He makes a way where there is no way. Our God is real. He's alive and on the throne. And I'm telling you, he showed me over and over and over, and my stories are amazing of the stuff that he pulled me through to the time where people would actually call me and say, Sharon, you have all these amazing miracles that take place in your life, and they're not Christian. Could you come over? I have a husband, you know, that won't put up with the pool being overflowing, and I left the water on and forgot it. Could you come over and take care of that? And maybe this miracle will happen to you. I didn't know what to do because I didn't do any of these miracles. This was all from God, but people knew that I was telling them to everybody. I was always telling them. And the one story I'll tell you that's really funny is my husband didn't know anything about cars. He was a genius. He was a CPA. And so he knew how to do that. He knew everything there was about being a CPA and the educated stuff, but he knew nothing about watering a lawn. His way of watering, getting rid of the weeds, is not to take a rake, but to take the hose and it, on high power, and it totally tears the lawn up and out of the weeds. And to fix a car, you rev the engine. So we had a Ferrari in the garage, and he would rev the engine really loud, thinking that's how he's going to fix it, right? And you don't put oil in a car. Who does that? And and so we had this Lincoln, and the Lincoln would go along the street, and it sounded like there were a whole bunch of screws in a glass case, and the screws were going around and around and around as you drive. Well, there was no oil, and it was a Lincoln with all the, you know, computer in it. It was Lincoln Continental, and so. So here, that car, I just hated it because it was always going to the car shop. You know, it was never fixed right, and it was just like, because it needed oil, good grief. It's not. Anyway, so I said, Lord, could you please remove the car? Because my husband wasn't going to do it. He wasn't going to get rid of it. And I said, could you please get rid of that car? So there was a knock on the door, and the gypsies were there. And hey, could I buy your car out there? I says, what car? The Lincoln. Are you kidding me? That's a piece of junk. What would you want to buy that for? Well, we want to buy it. We want it. I says, my husband would never want to lose that. I mean, you know, get rid of that. So they said, well, call him. So I called my husband. First of all, they said, can we ride in the car? Well, do you ride in the car with strangers? I mean, come on now. Anyway, so I did, because they had a baby. And they put $100 in the glove compartment for good luck. And so the good luck was that it didn't break down while we were in the car, while I was in the car, right? So we were on the freeway, and they hear all this noise, and they said, it sounds terrible. I says, of course, I told you it's junk. And so then we get home, and they said, we want the car. I says, you've got to be kidding. And so I went and called my husband. He says, yeah. He said, make it the price, the $3,500 we just spent, $3,550 we just spent on repairs. And it still didn't work because they just left it to get dusty. They didn't even fix it. And so I went and they counted out all this money on the table. And they said, we're $50 short. We'll pay you later. Yeah, right. And so they took the car and they called me up and they said, this car stalled on the freeway. I says, I told you it was junk. And so I never heard from them again. And my car was gone. Is that amazing? Is that amazing? And I did the same with the Ferrari. The Ferrari also was treated the same way. And so you don't do that to a Ferrari. Anyway, and so one day there was a knock at the door after I was given the Ferrari in the divorce settlement. And somebody comes to my door, but it happened to be these race car drivers that were friends of my husband's. But I told him I wanted the car gone. I didn't want that car. So they came and they took the car and they went and fixed it up. But God answered all my prayers, but he had me praying in the spirit all the time. And I was doing it, you know, while I was talking with people. You know, I'd go shopping with them, I'm praying in the spirit. It's just going through me, coming out, just going. It was flowing constantly, but nobody knew I was doing it. You know, it was silent. And so it was because I needed to have, it was like being in Egypt, and I needed to want to leave. I didn't want to leave because I had somebody that made a lot of money. And I had my needs met as far as having a house. My kids went to private school. They had skating, you know, ice skating, and that's very expensive, and all these lessons and all this stuff. So it was a comfort zone. But I had to get to that place where I spoke to the enemy. So I did speak to the enemy, and I said, I don't care if I have to live in the gutter. I'm leaving because of how you're treated, Lord, and not me. Well, I told this story to Gwen Shaw. She came to our church, and it was amazing. It was the only speaker I ever cried and cried and cried when she left. When she was here for, I don't know, a week, I cried. I don't know why. I just kept crying and crying. I couldn't stop because she met my spirit. She totally met my spirit. In fact, I was sitting there, and she was talking about her kind of people, the kind of people that she was. And those are the kind you hang out with, you know, and not everybody fits into her group. I says, Lord, please let me fit in her group. Please, I want to be that kind of person. I want to be that. I want to be what she's talking about. And then she says, I'm not praying for people today. She says, I'm not praying for anybody. And I said, Lord, let her pray for me anyway, okay? Let it be me. And she actually said, I am praying. Oh, yeah, she says, I'm praying for 10 people. And the 10 people were done. And I says, but Lord, let it be me. Even though 10 are over. And she says, but I'm going to take one more. And she called me up. And I told her that I teach children. I had a spirit of fear. And she caused the whole church. She caused that spirit to go around and actually heal people in the church of my spirit. I had a spirit of fear, and it ministered to everybody else. It was just amazing, the stuff that... And then she says, and she went to Bible school like me, and we had a connection. And then she says, what are you afraid of? I said, everything. And it was a time when I was losing my job. They were kicking me out of the school system over here, and they were doing everything to kick me out. And it was because I was, you know, it was all lessons for me. And God gave me peace that night. And I told her, I always teach children because that's how I learn. And this is how my Bible school, that was the best Bible school ever, is teaching children. And teaching them at that church, you know, at that church over there in Agoura, teaching them. It was for me. I was learning and teaching. Did the puppet shows, got into puppets, loved them. They were all ministering to me. And the whole thing was for me. And my faithfulness in children's ministry has been, my reward for that is I get what the kids get. So it's great. I get trained where the kids are. I am not, you know, and I, anyway. So it's, I'm not, you know, I've never been an adult. I've kind of like been young for my age. Because of maturity, you know, I just was never really mature. And so because I didn't read and study enough, but I learned to learn the word because I needed it. I craved it. I had to have it. So all of a sudden, the word just became alive in me. I had to use the scripture to live with, right? Is the time? Okay, so I got to do this. No, this is not good, Pastor. I'm going too long in this story. And I thought it would take... Okay, so what happened is... I would try to seek God and get into his face. And I couldn't see him. And I thought, I just can't do this. You know, it was so hard. And so Richard said, he prayed over me this one day, and he said, you're going to have a lot of encounters. And I go, oh, good. You know, and then last year for the children's ministry, for the VBS, the Lord gave me these visions of going back in the Bible and being the people in the Bible, like being the woman at the well and being the woman who was for the issue of blood and being, you know, I could use my imagination and all this stuff. So this is what I use for the kids. That's where the time machine came from. And so this year I go, what do I do now, Lord? And it was... And so then he says, teach them all that you've been learning, all that you've been doing in the children's ministry. You've been teaching them tongues, and you've been teaching them getting into his presence. And teach them how to do this. Teach the kids how to do this. So, and so with my imagination, I learned I could just do this. I could create this stuff with my imagination. And it isn't like with Kat Kerr. You know, it's like... so realistic. It's your imagination. And there was so much power in that. So I came to the children's ministry and I was able to do this with the kids. And they actually get into the spirit. I have them pray. I have them ask the Holy Spirit to come in. I don't know if there's anybody here that has never spoke, that doesn't have the gift of tongues and would like it. It says in the Bible, not everybody speaks in tongues. But it also says you can have whatever you ask for. And so you can have it, but it's because you don't ask if you don't have it. And not everybody wants to speak in tongues. Not everybody believes it's for them, but it's for whoever wants it. It's for the asking. So I don't know if there's anybody here that would like to receive that gift tonight. If there is, I can lead you into it, and you can just where you're sitting, and we can all do it, and you don't have to you know, be in front of everybody. But I would just like to do it, you know, and lead you guys into speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is, it's a mystery language. It's a language that the devil, the enemy, doesn't know. He knows, he does not know what you're praying. And so it's a protection thing. And it's like my two daughters learn gibberish, and whenever I go over to the, you know, to a family thing, they're speaking in gibberish if there's anything that they don't want the kids to know or something like that. And so that's the way it is. It's like speaking gibberish, and the Holy Spirit prays for you with all this stuff that you're praying, and it changes your life, and it makes you become like the Spirit. And it builds you up, and the Bible says that. So the best way to grow in the Lord and become mature, it's like a gold mine. Think about it. And then you tell God who he is. Jesus is a rescuer. Jesus is a rescuer. He saved the woman who was in adultery. And she should have been stoned. She was foolish. She was she was doing the wrong thing, but Jesus rescued her. And Jesus rescues us when we get ourselves in messes. He's rescuing me all the time. And I've always gotten into messes. It's just like, and he always makes a way where there is no way when you get into the Spirit and start praying. He's a rescuer. Yes, yes. And so so I had the kids dress today. You know, that's why we had the kids dress in superhero outfits today. Because it's like having a superhero. Jesus is a superhero. And he's a superhero, so we talked about that today. You know, we call Jesus instead of Superman. And so the kids got into that. But we call Jesus, and then we get into the verses that talk about the, like, Jesus is a rescuer. So you tell him who he is, and just tell him how you love this, how you love him being a rescuer, and then getting in the Spirit and start praying in tongues. And then it happens in you, and then you get rescued, and it's like a gold mine. Can you imagine? Rescued from financial ruin, rescued from those things that are too hard for you, rescued from those places that you have no answer, rescued from a house that's not peaceful, rescued from having ungodly family, and they become godly. He changes your circumstances. He rescues you. He changed those people that were going to throw the stones, and they realized, hey, they couldn't throw it because they're sinners too. He changes people's heart. He gives revelation to them. He will from your predator. He will give revelation. He changes your life when you pray in the Spirit and you call Jesus a rescuer. He will rescue you. And so he will bring these verses alive. He will totally work them in you when you speak them. And it's just a very powerful tool that the Lord is showing me. So the children get into this. So if you guys, so first of all, I'd like to lead you guys into tongues. And so we can all say, even though there's some that, we'll just all say, Holy Spirit, come into me. I ask you to give me an unknown tongue. I ask you to fill me with all that you are. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you hear my prayer. All right, now, we can all pray, but this is what I want you to, this is what I do with the children. I release their tongue. I know not everybody does this, but I ask them, I have them get their tongue released. So I'm going to say some words in a tongue, and then you can copy me, okay? And then it doesn't mean anything, because what's going to happen, I'm going to go faster, and you're going to get it wrong. And then it's going to go into your language, and it's going to release into your language instead of mine, okay? And then you have to believe that whatever comes out of your mouth is from the Lord. And he's doing that, and it causes your tongue, it causes you to have faith, it causes you to release it. And you all of a sudden are speaking in tongues without knowing that you're doing it. I mean that it's your own, okay? So we're gonna do this. And I know the Lord's going to give me the ability to do it in front of people because I'm considering you as little children, okay? So, Sham Mariaka, Aliyamaha, Aliyamahoki, Sholavishte, Aleminikite, Aliyamahankariat, Hariyadadiya, Taradiya Mahatalia, Kariya Shotaradabehe Sheke, Alavashana, Hamahaniana, Tete, Telekea Kayoka, Sholavashina, Manelekea Kariya Mahana, Hana, 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 Hana. Shola Vashina Mene Lekea Kariya Radia La Kariya Radia La Vidya Shata Tia Tarada Tata 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 Shola Vashira De Lekea Kariya Radia La Vidya Radia La Kariya Radia La Kariya Tata 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 Shomani Yamani Yamani Ya Kariya Radia La Vidya Tata 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 Shila Vashira De Lekea Karienda Shoma Hani Anamana Kia Kireti Lekea Kariyata She So Jesus is a rescuer. Jesus is a rescuer. You're a rescuer, Jesus. You're a rescuer. You are a rescuer, Lord Jesus. You rescued the lady who was in adultery. You will rescue me too, Lord. You rescue us. You will rescue us. I love that name, Lord. I love you, your name of a rescuer. I love it. I love it. You are such an amazing rescuer. Shakatiya tarada ta 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 tiya tarada ta ta tiya la kariya ra diya la bariya ra diya la kariya ra diya la kariya ra diya la kariya ta 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 ta. Shola vashena menele kiya kariya ra diya la kariya ra diya la kariya ra diya la kariya ra diya la bariya ta 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 tiya tarada ta 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 ta. Shikiya kariya ta 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 ta. So I hope that you guys got revelation from that. It's just a piece of it. And you can do it with a lot of things, like getting into the bosom of God and to the Father and jumping in his lake of love. And breathing in and soaking in his love. And that love water happens to be just like the one in the womb that feeds the baby. And it feeds you. And it feeds you all that you need. All that you need to be close to God. All that you need to be what God wants you to be. Just jump in his lake and get into close to his bosom and start just getting that relationship with him and getting in the spirit on that too. There's so many names that you can go into the tongues with and with the Bible verses to go with it. So I hope there's people today that did not speak in tongues before they came tonight and now are and have this revelation. But I wanted to get to one more thing. And what we're going to get to right now is we're going to go into a tea party. So you're going to close your eyes and I'm going to take you to heaven. And I'm going to do the imagination. With the children, what they do is they tell me, I take them to heaven and I start telling them what we're doing. And they say, can we go on our own, please? Is this amazing? They're so amazing. And so the children, so what I want to do is take you to heaven. And another thing today, they had a Jesus. So we had Jesus in the heart. So I got a kid to dress up as Jesus and wig and everything. And I put a cell phone up to the kids, and there he was talking to them. If they asked Jesus in their heart, they got the cell phone on their heart like this. And then they said, Jesus, thank you for coming in my heart. And Jesus says, I love you and I will never leave you. Yeah. And they had, and this is an encounter, right? Yeah. And so then I had this one little boy, and he was like this. And Jesus had tennis shoes, and the kids go, Jesus. Because when he came to them, you know, he had tennis shoes. What's the tennis shoes? And he says, yeah. But anyway, this one kid is standing there with me, and he refuses to be a part of it. And he says, and I said, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking that he's not real, right? And he says, how can he be more than one place at a time? And I says, well, why don't you breathe air? And he breathed there. I says, that's God's breath. He put it in you. Did you know that that's oxygen? And did you know that God's breath goes all over the whole world? And everywhere you go, there it's there. And it's hitting all the other kids too. It's hitting everybody all over the world. And that's the way God is. He's all over the world. And I said, and Jesus needs skin to live in because he only has a supernatural body. So he lives in us. So what this is not Jesus, this is an actor, but I want you to be able to close your eyes and see Jesus because you have this, the real Jesus, because you're seeing him. Well, anyway, so I explained it to him, and you know, it was almost like I did him a favor. The next day he just came up and he was just smiling and hugging me and my friend, because he got release and realized that Jesus can be more than one place. He could be, you know, everywhere. But these kids, he's five. There's these kids, five, I guess, yeah, or six, I don't know. But anyway, kids are amazing because they think of these things as a little child. And so then this one little girl, I said to all the other kids, I said, you know, when people dress up, not everybody that dresses up as Jesus, I says that people aren't Jesus. They're not Jesus. But they're not the right Jesus, because Jesus has a supernatural body. And so I told them, but this is, and this little girl says, I know he's not real, but he is, but he, it helps us to see him, because when I close my eyes, she's five, when I close my eyes, I can see him better. Because I know what he looks like. And so she knew exactly what I was doing. But anyway, this is what you can do for encounters. You can see Jesus. You look at something that's maybe a picture of Jesus or whatever to get your picture. Close your eyes and see that picture. So I want you to close your eyes. And we are going to be at a tea party. And Jesus is at this tea party in heaven. And there's food on the table, and you see the food, and you eat the food, and Jesus is sitting at the table with you. Look at his face. And when you're done, watch Jesus come over and take your hand.